Stay a while. Stay forever.
Hello, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And welcome to The Impossible Mission.
And we are the Geek Show's video game discussion thing here on YouTube, on your podcast provider. But if you're on YouTube, click subscribe, like, comment below, smash the living daylights out of that bell, comment on how we're wrong, all wrong, or add with additions to shows you'd like to see. But that's jumping the gun a little bit.
Yeah, suggest topics for us.
Yeah, suggest topics for us. We want to talk about what you want to hear us talk about. Or if you're on a podcast provider, do subscribe, share us with your friends, give us a rating or review, because that's how people find us.
We are talking about something kind of TV and movie related, video game adaptations. Not of TV shows, but the other way around, TV show and movie adaptations of video games. And before anyone asks...
Big history of this.
Yeah, there is a massive history, but we're not talking about the history of it. We're talking about more recent outings, because...
Because if you talk about the history, that means we're going to have to talk about the Super Mario movie.
Yeah, we're not...
Wow! Who smoked whatever you do with peyote and made that?
I don't know, but we're not talking about that. We're not talking about the balls up that was the Assassin's Creed movie.
Which I keep forgetting exists. Although on that note, I think the Tomb Raider one they did a few years ago was like a really solid action movie.
Are you on about the Angelina Jolie?
No,
ones?
Not the Angelina Jolie. The more recent one with Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, that one was actually pretty good. But the Angelina Jolie ones...
No. I remember getting into the cinema to see the second one for free, and that is the most memorable part of either.
See, I find it funny that those movies actually exist. But then again, they've always tried to make movies off video games. And I think that with what's happening now, with the spate of TV shows, because HBO are making a TV show of The Last of Us.
Well, the guy who did Chernobyl is involved in that.
Yeah, which I think is going to...
That's a big cat who's involved in that.
Uncharted has got a TV show?
No, a movie.
Is it a movie?
Yeah, it's long been hinted at. I mean, they've cast... I think Tom Holland has been cast in it. And Banderas.
Okay, who's Antonio Banderas playing?
He's going to have to be a bad guy. You can't have him as Sully. That would be really weird how Sully suddenly become Hispanic.
Yeah, I know. Because my first thought was, is he going to be Sully? I mean, because Tom Holland cannot be Nathan Drake.
Tom Hanks could be a good Sully, though.
Give him Tom
a white,
Hanks could
give
be
him
a good
white
Sully.
Wig and he'd be a good Sully, because he has that vibe about him.
But Tom Holland cannot be Nathan Drake.
It's like an origin story of how Sully met Nathan. And they're in a cafe.
No. You want it? Well, how Nathan met Sully.
When they're in a cafe, and then somebody in the background says, "I'll have what he's having."
Yeah, because Sully's going, "Yes, yes, yes."
And he just, a plan. He's not faking anything. He's really excited about treasure.
About the plan.
Yes. But yeah, there's that. The Last of Us is a TV show with Neil Druckmann involved.
Yeah, which I'm interested in. The Witcher has just finished its first season.
There's problems with The Witcher. I mean, as a spectator of the video game, a player of the video game, there's lots in there which makes a great deal of sense. But if you come into it fresh, so much is nonsense.
Yeah, but the thing is...
As far as adaptations go, couldn't really got it better.
I mean, aside from... I mean, we both agree that the actress who played Yennefer...
No.
But, I mean, when you get right down to it, it's a prequel.
But they don't age, do they?
Yeah, so. They don't age, but that's the same in a lot of things. You know, you have characters who are held in this state of arrested development.
And it's a lot of boobs. I'm channeling the guy from on his trailer. That's how he says it.
Not as many as Game of Thrones.
I undermined you there, something fierce.
Not as many as Game of Thrones, let's be fair.
So there's more boobs.
Yeah. I think the main catchphrase from The Witcher, the main catchphrase that you hear a lot of people saying is just because
okay.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something goes wrong and that's the only thing they say.
Is that a...
Yeah. Especially from Henry Cavill, who is a surprisingly good Geralt.
And still, the wig looked really bad.
Yeah.
But it worked great in motion.
Yeah.
But that's a super dense mythology in Witcher.
Yeah.
Of all the things you could adapt to a TV show, I would never dream of doing The Witcher.
Yeah, but they did a really good job of it by not explaining things. And yeah. I think that that's the key thing.
I think apparently, if I remember my news stories correctly, it's the most successful TV show that Netflix has ever produced.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons for that, you know, when
there's hunger for it. Yeah.
You know when he goes off to fight a monster?
Yeah.
Right? They don't explain what the monster is or how it or its origins. You know, not in a lot of cases. They just basically go with it, and I think that's one of the reasons why it works.
Yeah, I was disappointed that there was no drowners or neckers or rot fiends where you hit them a few times and it just explodes on you.
Season 2 is coming.
Yeah, season 2 for all the rot fiends. And let's have a cockatrice. Have a cockatrice in there too.
Yeah, but I mean, a cockatrice is basically a very big chicken that basically petrifies you.
Yeah, I know, but it's a massive chicken. Imagine that.
hey, you never know. He might bring out the enemy of all chickens.
There was a wyvern in
Colonel Sanders.
There was a wyvern in series 1, but it wouldn't even be better without that.
Yeah, but I mean,
more cockatrices, man.
But anyway, The Witcher is a TV series that works.
It's a model that shows that you can adapt a video game to a TV show.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why TV networks and movie studios are really excited about the prospect of diving into video games.
There's lots of things that could work. I mean, the one which I don't think will ever work is the long-touted Metal Gear Solid movie. I think trying to compress that nonsense mythology into a 2 or 3 hour movie would be... It'd make somebody lose their mind. It's just too hard.
Well, I'll be honest, the Metal Gear movie, I reckon, will probably end up like the Assassin's Creed movie.
Yeah, it'll where just it'll be garbled, just hoo-ha.
And followed by someone going, Snake, Snake, Snake!
And Snake's died, and then you press start. Okay. But it's just too difficult to adapt. I mean, I have massively fond memories of the Metal Gear Solid franchise. I'm not poo-pooing it at all. Number 3 is one of my favourites. I absolutely adore Number 3. Wonderful game.
Substance is an amazing game. I'll agree.
But he kind of believed his own hype with Number 5, and it's not a good game.
No,
I got a second hand for £3, and I felt ripped off. Pretty damning praise there. But the much touted BioShock, I think, has the same level of density and design that made The Witcher work.
See, do you know what I'd love to see, right?
I meant keeping it in the underground and undersea. That
Rapture.
Would, yeah. Rapture, that's the one. See, yeah. That would make a wonderful TV show. Like the collapse of Rapture.
That's what I'm saying. If you just called it Rapture.
Yeah.
Right? You remember when they did Battlestar Galactica and they did the spin-off show just called Caprica?
I don't remember that. I remember Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
And I didn't watch. Is that the new one?
The new Battlestar
Galactica. I
didn't
watch it because I thought, this is not Battlestar Galactica. This is politics. Politics.
It's actually very good.
Probably is.
But they did a spin-off series, kind of a spin-off prequel series called Caprica, right?
Yeah, okay.
And if you did a series called Rapture, which was all about the birth of the city under the sea and the reasons for its establishment.
Yeah, and all the players, the politics, the
splices, and the eventual downfall of Rapture.
The big daddies, the little sisters.
Yeah.
Lots of iconography in there that you could really go to town with.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff in there. But by the same token, you could also do that with Mass Effect. Now, I would love to have...
That's just basically Star Trek, though, isn't it?
Not quite.
I know there's variations upon it, but it is a massively sprawling space opera.
Yeah.
Which is what Star Trek is.
Yeah, but this is my point. Who says you can't have something to rival Star Trek?
Nobody. But it's the thing, is it different enough to justify being?
Well, I mean, yes. Because at the end of the day, Mass Effect... See, I know that everyone poo-poos Mass Effect Andromeda, right?
For good reason. It was cynically pushed out.
Yeah. But Wouldn't Andromeda work better as a TV show?
I don't know. I never played it.
Well, actually, I say that now, but Andromeda did not work as good as a TV show because Series 4 happened.
Wasn't that the show where...
Kevin Sorbo.
A certain disappointed film critic. Kevin Sorbo. Disappointed.
It's the one where the writer's strike happened about most of the way through Season 3. The writer's strike happened and then they had to get in a different writer for Series 4. And then everything just went kind of batshit crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I love Hercules, but it's not a good show.
Hercules is not a good show, but Andromeda was a good show up until partway through Season 3. And then you're like, okay, so she's the sun, she's a black hole, she's a sun, she's a sun, she's a sun, she's a sun, she's a sun. What's he then? Oh, he's the abyss. But isn't the abyss the same as a black hole? No?
Yeah, you're
not
falling.
The same thing?
I think
a tesseract? What's a tesseract?
You're staring into the abyss right now, so I've got to pull you out of that.
Do you see what I mean? And then he's going through a tunnel, but he meets himself coming through the tunnel, and they both look at each other and smile and going, what the hell is going on?
And there's loads of TV shows, or movies, video games, sorry, that could work as TV shows. More than work as movies.
Yeah.
Because it's just, when it comes to movies, I think Sonic is the right way to do things. It's something that doesn't have a lot of mythology, something which has a basic concept and images and icons which you can sort of pad out and flesh out and make use out of. It's something that you can build up rather than something you can depress and diminish.
Yeah.
So whereas a video game, as a TV show, is you can allow it all that weird idiosyncrasies because it's much longer form.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. The Sonic movie has been doing a lot better than people thought.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what the studio's like, money?
We never expected this.
Yes. And they all go, they're all like snuffle triffin' pigs, I was going to say that. Let's try that again. Truffle sniffing pigs. That is a hard sentence to say. They're all truffle sniffing pigs for video games and the money. I got there in the end. the same with TV and The Witcher.
Yeah. But I mean, what other games? I mean, It'd be interesting to see a God of War TV show.
It'd have to... Depends on what iteration, because I think if it was like 1-3, I don't think you'd be able to separate it from sort of like Game of Thrones style, Egypt, lots of nakedness and violence.
I'll be honest, I think that in the same way as The Witcher, I think God of War, the prequel to God of War, would be interesting. Call it Kratos and just have it as the younger Kratos from like boyhood becoming this man and the events leading up to him becoming, this guy on a quest of vengeance.
I think number 4, or just God of War, it's called, really messed up the chronology of that thing.
Yeah.
That would make a good TV show because it's a very alternative take on Norse mythology.
Yeah. But I think if you're going to do something with God of War, a prequel would be interesting.
It's very easy out though, isn't it? So we're not adapting the TV show or whatever, we're doing a prequel before events.
Yeah.
So that means they can't do anything wrong because it's completely fresh canvas.
Yeah, but isn't that the best way though? It's exactly what you're talking about.
Yes and no.
Well, it's exactly what you're talking about. You want them to build on it. You don't want them to just take it and say, oh, we're going to do the TV version of this particular story.
Yeah, wasn't there an animated show of Zelda?
Yeah,
we don't talk about that. That's notorious. And I think there was an animated Mario show as well.
I can't remember that.
Which, yeah, I think that's the best.
but that's the thing, right? I mean, if you've played... Okay, take, I don't know, pick a game.
You want something with a goofy mythology.
Something with a completely insane mythology.
Fallout.
Okay, so take Fallout. You've played the game.
Yeah.
And now there's a TV show of that game.
And it was, this is basically Walking Dead, they all say. But I think Fallout would work, because there's a lot to dig into there with the vaults.
Yeah, but I mean, you couldn't take...
I wouldn't want a Fallout TV show ever, but it could work as a concept for, like,
framework. I mean, if you had Fallout as just a TV show that was about a completely new character, right, from a different shelter...
Yeah, I mean, every series could be a different vault.
Yeah, every series could be a different vault. And I think that would work for a Fallout series. But I think if you're going to go with, say, Final Fantasy VII...
Impossible to do a TV show out of that.
They did Advent Children.
Which is not good.
it's not a great movie. Technically, it's brilliant.
It's a sequel, isn't it?
Yeah. Technically, it's brilliant. But imagine if they did a Final Fantasy VII series where it just told the story of Final Fantasy VII.
It's just an anime.
All over again.
It's just an anime series. Weirdo anime series from the 90s.
But that's what I'm saying. What if you had to basically go through the story of Final Fantasy VII all over again?
Speaking of that, there was a Devil May Cry anime, which was all right.
It was pretty decent, that one. Yeah. And the reason why it was pretty decent was because it wasn't trying to tell the same bloody story all over again.
It was on deal.
And that's my point. I don't want a TV series of a video game or a movie.
To be honest, The Witcher is a prequel as well. So, there is precedence, isn't there?
Yeah. I don't want to... The thing is, if I'm playing a game of something, I don't want to go to the TV show and watch that show.
Apparently that's what The Last of Us is, though. The Last of Us is going to be a lot of season one and maybe two. TV show one and two. And,
Yeah.
A limited run series.
I think The Last of Us gets a little... See, this is the thing. I think The Last of Us is one of those ones where it could work because the actual game was so powerful in a lot of ways, right? So I think it's one of those where it has a strong basis in the story already. A strong foundation in the story already. But when you've got something that has a much more complicated world, like The Witcher, where you need... you need a lot more backstory and stuff like that. A prequel is the better way to go.
I don't think there's a lot of backstory really dropped in The Witcher. Not really.
Not in the TV show. In the games there is, but not in the TV show.
Yeah, I mean, you get to find out why he's called the Butcher of Blaviken.
Yeah.
That's about as far as it gets, backstory.
But that's what I mean. It was basically creating new content which actually ties in with the games.
Yeah, there's lots of crossover, like... The characters, the cast Triss really, really well. A lot of characters really well. Looking forward to what it entails going forward.
I am curious about the Uncharted movie.
Yeah, it's just Indiana Jones, isn't it?
Yep.
Kid Indiana Jones, and there was already one of those. A TV show, I think there was.
Young Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
No, it wasn't.
No. But what would you like to see then, if we're playing with studio money?
I would love to see...
And also, that goes to the listeners as well. Tweet us at @TGS_TheGeekShow or comment below if you what you would like to see.
First thing that I'd love to see is Yakuza soap opera.
Why? It already exists.
As a game.
It's like saying, oh, I want to see a Grand Theft Auto movie. It basically already is.
That's what I mean. And no, what I mean is just basically take all the cutscenes from the Yakuza
games. You mean like they did with Red Dead Redemption 1 where there was a movie cut of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, directed by John Hillcoat.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the name of it was, but it exists, it's out there.
Something like that.
That's a fan edit, though. That's not a real thing, Rob.
All right, being serious. See, number one, it has to be an interesting world, right?
Yes.
Number two, it has to be... It doesn't have to be the same character as in the game. It can be somebody else.
No, it could. Right. I mean, I've got my answer.
What's your answer?
Again, I have to dip into my favourite game reserve. I think a good TV show could be made of either Psychonauts or Beyond Good and Evil, because they both have very expandable mythologies and worlds.
Yeah.
And they are both incredibly idiosyncratic.
Yeah.
I mean, take Beyond Good and Evil. The first one, I don't know what's happening with the second one, whatever the hell that is. Her best friend is a pig. She's a photojournalist. Lots of end of the world sort of things going on. There's a state which takes over the sector. Lots of imaginative ideas going around. Lots of imaginative design going around. It's just very, very expandable. And the Psychonauts is a group of people who use psychokinetic or whatever powers to solve stuff, and the second game seems to really expand upon what that unit is. And let's be fair, Tim Schafer, he's very good at mythology and world building.
Yeah.
And to pick up that and just adapt it to a TV show, I think would be so easy.
Yeah.
You might have to de-goofy the movie, the sense of humour a little bit. I don't think things like The Milkman could translate to TV. But as far as a baseline concept for a world to expand into a TV show, I think either of those could be quite fruitful.
See, it's interesting that you went down that route, because one of my first choices for, just a fun TV show about pirates.
I know what he's going with.
What am I going with?
Monkey Island.
Yeah. And why not? It doesn't.
Would the sense of humour work, though? Would you have to sort of...
It doesn't have to be Guybrush. No. It could be... Because the thing is, you've got the whole of that region, right? So it doesn't have to be a story about Guybrush. But
it could be a story about that second-hand ship salesman.
Exactly.
Who has really over-emphasising with his arms.
Or about, what's his face, you know, the skull? How did he become a skull?
Yeah, or the voodoo woman. How did that happen?
And you could literally just
Or that pub where they have grog which melts through the cup and you have to transport it really, really quickly.
Yeah. I know. There's so many interesting things in the whole Monkey Island series that make that world a fun place. And you don't have to have a character like Guybrush. You could just have just somebody who wants to... I mean, Guybrush was basically somebody who wanted to be a pirate.
Yeah, and he was really ill-equipped.
Yeah.
He just sort of... Gary from Accounts wants to be a pirate. Here is a story.
So, actually, maybe you should make it about Guybrush.
Yeah. I think the consistent theme here is it's not about whether you love the game, it's not about the story of the game, it's about the world of the game.
Yeah.
The world is what you flesh out and expand upon, and that is where the great stories come.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at... if you look at JRPGs, for example, right?
Well, they'd be very hard to adapt, but okay.
Well, not as many as you think. Not in as many ways as you think. I think that...
But Ni No Kuni was an anime movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how successful that was.
It was all right. But I think that one of the problems that you got when you look... Because there's a very clear demarcation between East and West in terms of games, right?
It's all in the haircut.
Well, yeah, it's all in the haircut. It's all in the design. Yeah. But, I mean, there are games that come from the East which could really be interesting TV shows, right? Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
I don't know. I mean, if we're going to go with anything like that, I'd have went with Onimusha because there's a lot of mythology in
that
world.
There is a lot of mythology in that world.
And it's all based on sort of real Japanese feudal history.
Yeah, but...
Like, the big bad is Oda Nobunaga. Who's a real, very real member of Japanese historical society.
Samunosuke was Yagi Jube is the main character from the second one.
Yes, he is, and he was
a real person.
So the Yagyu clan are very, very famous sword clan. Kenjutsu clan.
The reason why I brought up Sekiro Shadows Die Twice was because I was going to go to kind of its precursor, Tenchu.
Oh, yeah, Tenchu was a great PS1 stealth mode, but I can't remember any aspect of it beyond stabbing fools.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Wouldn't it be interesting to have an actual game, an actual TV show? Because, I mean, there was a storyline, there was a narrative to the games.
I can't remember. It's PlayStation 1. It's
PlayStation
very,
1 and
very
2.
Very hazy.
It's old now, but, I mean, Tenchu had a narrative to it, which I think could translate well to a TV show.
As long as you had a character who was a ninja who was called Chaka, I'd be okay. There's a reference to Ninja in the Dragon's Den, which is awesome.
You won't stop about that film.
Chaka Ninja.
Oh.
It's wonderful.
Okay, any other games that you'd like to see as a TV show or a movie?
I think, I go on a movie show, that works. But Eastern stuff, that's very, very hard. I mean, they made anime series out of Persona, haven't they?
Yeah.
I don't know how successful they were.
They were pretty popular.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of Eastern stuff because we're all very Western-centric.
I had an interesting idea.
Okay.
Interesting one. Enslaved.
I can't even remember what that is.
You know, Journey to the West.
Oh, well, yeah, that's been adapted so many ways, hasn't it?
No, but I mean, because when you first start playing Enslaved, Monkey is already captured.
Yes.
And I'm talking about the story about how we got that leads up to that.
If you've not played Enslaved Journey to the West, I recommend it wholeheartedly.
Odyssey to the West it is, sorry, not Journey to the West. Odyssey to the West it is.
Well, yeah, look for that, it's great.
But that'd be an interesting one because the game had a really interesting world.
And it was very earthy. It wasn't Dragon Ball, which is also adapted from the same source text. Yeah.
But I mean, what I liked about it was that it gave you some idea of how the world ended up like that, but it'd be interesting to see it to have a TV series that dealt with Monkey and how the world became like the way it was.
It's really curious. I've been put on a spot now and I can't remember a single Japanese game I've ever played. I can't remember any of them.
I mean, if you're talking about horror, there's the Fatal Frame ones.
Yeah, they're kind of strip bare low, aren't they?
Yeah. But there's also Forbidden Siren and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to... The Resident Evil movies... Oh, go away. The Silent Hill movies... go away.
There are some games that just don't lend themselves to being adapted. See...
The skin scene from Resident Evil... Not Silent Hill 1, was it? I showed the level that movie was operating on. As a gore movie. Yeah. And that's not what Silent Hill is.
No.
No, I am totally blanking. I can't think of any Japanese games I've ever played. And I've played a lot. It's just the memory banks. I think in the inside world, I think he's on the toilet. You know, inside out world, where there's like four people who operate my brain. Yeah. The one who's operating the memory banks is on the loo right now.
See, this...
And he can't be reached.
Okay, I'll be honest. There are certain... If you look at JRPGs, right? If you look at the Tales JRPGs, or you look at the Final Fantasies, or any of the others, right? It's difficult to adapt those to becoming a TV show. And the main reason is because, well, the worlds are big and complicated and stuff like that, but that complication is only skin deep. They, you know, in terms of world building, they don't, because they've got these big and complex worlds with all these multiple cities, the actual supporting narrative for that world, for want of a better word, is actually remarkably weak.
Google's terrible. I searched for famous Japanese video games because my brain has totally failed me. And among them is Mega Man and Wii Sports. I can't make TV shows out of this. I can't make TV shows out of Pac-Man or Space Invaders or Legend of Zelda.
Hang on. What do you mean you can't make a TV show out of it? They already made a movie out of Pac-Man and Space Invaders. No, sorry, it was Galaxians. They call it Pixels, remember?
Yeah. Demon Souls. How can you make anything out of Demon Souls?
I can make a cake.
Yeah, I probably could.
Demon cake. Demon Soul cake.
I don't know, really, because Japanese video games, outside of the JRPG, they're not really that concerned with narrative. They're always, very...
That's what I mean.
Of its in and out sort
of
thing.
Well, let's put it this way, right? If you're playing a game like The Witcher, right, you'll have all these little bits of lore that appear throughout the game, yeah?
Yeah.
That add to the world building. But if you're playing a JRPG, how many of those are there? Not many.
Like, persistent worlds. Very few. I mean, look at Final Fantasy. Everyone is setting a difference.
Well, I don't mean persistent worlds. I mean, as you're travelling through that world, all these little bits of lore that add flavour and colour to that world. There's hardly any in a JRPG, whereas there is a lot in Western RPGs.
I think that sort of tells very different... it gives everything clues to the way people consume games from different sides of the world, which is not what we're doing right now. But yeah, I think staying with the West might be a bit easier. I'd like to see Dead Space. Just, I don't want to see... I always say, when there's an option, what would you like to see? What do you want to come back? What do you want? Anything? I'm starting to feel, just saying it so much, that I might be a bit obsessed with Dead Space. But I think I'm okay with that.
You are obsessed with Dead Space.
Seriously, yeah. Bring it back. I dare you cowards. I said it with another thing about skateboarding games, extreme sports games. I called you cowards about that. So I'm recycling my bit and calling you cowards again. But as far as sort of the mythology in that, I think it's just as rich as any contemporary video game.
See, I've just suddenly thought...
And all of these shows we're talking about sort of fantasy or sci-fi, and none of them are really horror. I think a Dead Space movie would be awful. It just can't exist that way. Because it's about cults, it's about the marker, it's about these creatures, it's about sort of mind washing. It's all sorts of things are going on, and all sorts of ideas are going on, and I think that needs a bit more space to sort of breathe as a concept.
I've just suddenly thought...
An emotional hook in it.
There is actually a JRPG that you could adapt as a TV show, a long-running TV show.
Okay.
And it's actually one of my favourite ones that I've literally just remembered.
Okay.
The Legend of Heroes.
Nobody remembers that, though, do they?
they should do. It's getting re-released on the PS4 as we speak.
Well, I guess they do then.
The Legend of Heroes, right. See, this is the thing, right? Right. If I remember rightly, it was Falcom who came up with this idea. Now, right, Rob, tell me if you've heard of anything like this in a JRPG, right?
Go on.
A single world, an overarching storyline that spans multiple games through multiple actual franchises.
Yeah, I don't know anything like that.
Right, The Legend of Heroes is the actual title for all of these games, right? And you have different games in the series. You had Trails in the Sky,
yeah,
which then led on to Trails of Cold Steel 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, is that what they're from?
Yeah. Now, all of those take place on the same world in the same group of countries, and it tells of this ongoing series of events, and you have a main character, and you have all sorts of things happening in Trails of Cold Steel, in Trails in the Sky, and there's like, I mean, it's five games telling one continuous story.
Hmm. Compelling.
And that could work.
It could, yeah, with the right people.
Because the thing is, by the time you got to the fifth game, there's so much world building has happened by that point.
There's more than likely be an anime, though, let's be fair.
Yeah, more than likely an anime, but it's still a TV adaptation.
Yeah, I mean, anime is on TV too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think on that point...
Yeah, comment below if you've got any suggestions, because I just can't remember any games I've ever played, apparently. And all that comes into my head is Dead Space. I don't know why. I think I might have a problem. Comment below.
When you say all that comes into your head is Dead Space, it just... my mind has gone blank.
It's two meanings. It's three meanings.
Join us on Cinema Eclectica as we dive headfirst into the latest cinema releases, from blockbuster monsters to the newest indie darling fresh off the festival circuit. Also on the show, we have Off the Shelf, where we talk about the latest films to hit Blu-ray and streaming. That covers everything from the Shaw Brothers to silent cinema, Czech New Wave to slashers, and New Hollywood to honest to God trash. Check out Cinema Eclectica wherever you find your podcasts, or direct from thegeekshow.co.uk.
Hello, I'm J. Michael Tatum, and you're listening to one hell of a show, The Geek Show.
Perplexed by the pompous, ponderous piffle purveyed by normal art critics? Well, you've come to the right place, because we're not normal. We take a not-so-serious look at the serious worlds of art and literature. Join Sarah, Andrew, Rob and Graham for a piffle-free journey through the cultural landscape of the 21st century. Literary loitering. Because you can't make a cultural omelette without smashing a few eggheads.
And this time, this episode, it's an episode for the times that we're in right now. Not going to address it, because addressing it apparently is bad internet juju. But in the times that we're currently in, people want games. People want games that not necessarily are the big, expansive games that you can get lost in. People want the games which, for want of a better word, are comfort food or chewing gum for the brain. So that's the sort of games we're going to be talking about today. And we're not talking about it in a derogatory sense. We're talking about it in a celebrity... Well, maybe we are talking about derogatory sense and celebrity sense. But anyway, yes, that's the topic for today.
Yeah, okay. Now, I think we need to define first, before we get into this, we need to define certain rules, so to speak. They're more guidelines, but number one, any game that you're playing right now that is a time sink, say you just started playing The Witcher 3 or something like that, right? Any game that you're going to spend hours and hours on, I wouldn't say that was a chewing gum, for the brain type game.
However, in the case of Witcher, it does have Gwent, which I would qualify as that, but that's...
We'll get to Gwent and stuff like that later. But you understand what I mean. It's a game where there's a strong narrative, there's strong progression, you're playing the game for the story. You know, you want to know what happens next. You want to complete these quests and get the rewards. You have a reason to play the game.
Just on that, I want to say that Witcher... I'm playing through Witcher 3 now, and it's Mass Effect to me. You know, and Mass Effect 2,
yeah.
People will be able to remember this, where
you played it over and over and over again because you wanted to make sure that the entire crew survived.
Yeah.
Well, The Witcher 3's done that to me. This is my second playthrough, and I got a bad ending. I don't want a bad ending. I want a good ending.
but you understand what I mean when I say that there's a reason to play the game. You're playing it for a purpose. You're playing it with purpose, you know? You're not simply playing the game just because you want something to wind down to. You want to relax. You don't want to think about anything. And I also want to separate games where, you know, MOBAs or games like Call of Duty, where it's a high-stress, high-tension, fast-paced thing. I don't think those are chewing gum for the brain type games as well. Now, there are a bunch of people out there who think Dark Souls 1 and 3 in particular. I don't know why 1 and 3, but Dark Souls 1 and 3 in particular.
Why not 2?
I don't know. But Dark Souls 1 and 3 in particular seem to be the main two that some people return to. And I can kind of understand hitting a big monster with a big sword can be therapeutic.
Well, I will say that in defense of those sorts of games, the endorphin rush when you beat a boss after grueling through it and trying to beat the monster is really, really rewarding.
Yeah, but up until that point, you're very, very stressed, okay?
Yes. It's a nice release, though.
Yeah, it's a nice release, but you're very stressed. And that's my point. It's, again, not a game where you can just sit down and enjoy it. You know, you can just sit down and play it. You don't need to, you're not getting into that zone where you're going to be absolutely stressed. You're not getting into that zone where you need to think about things, where you need to kind of plan what you're doing. You need to strategize. You need to think about what's it going to do now. You see what I mean?
Yeah, you got to look for the patterns.
Yeah. So the types of game that I'm thinking of, as chewing gum for the brain type games, are games like Theme Hospital or other games of that type, you know, Roller Coaster Tycoon, Sim Zoo, that sort of thing.
It's games with, I wouldn't say without any action. Games which don't revolve around you trying to save the world from some big bad and shoot all the bad guys or do whatever with the bad guys. It's your own private time. Whatever you choose to do with the bad guys, as long as you keep it in your own bedroom, is fine.
Yeah, exactly that. You've basically hit the nail on the head, right? We both love Theme Hospital, and you just did a review of Two Point Hospital recently as well.
Yes.
Which it's the spiritual successor and made by people who made Theme Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll say it's a game that I could easily sink hours into and be totally calm and chilled while I'm playing it.
Yeah, but we don't want to repeat what we did in the video titled The Scariest Games in the World, which we talked about sort of sim.
Yeah, we did talk about those.
Facility management.
Yeah, facility.
We don't want to just repeat the same point. Because these games are more diverse than just this one thing.
Yeah, this is the thing. If you go slightly to the left of the facilities management games, then you get to games like... Now, I'm going to be specific here, right? Real-time strategy games, I'm not talking about all of them, but games like Age of Empires, especially Age of Empires 2 and Age of Empires 3, or games like Civilization.
Yeah, I mean, strategy games have become peculiar in the last couple of years because they seem to have introduced this survivalist element.
Yeah.
Where you put in a situation where it's very, very grueling, whether it's like a horrible freezing, was that Frostpunk? I think I'm...
Yeah.
Remembering the title?
Yeah, Frostpunk.
Or Northgard, in which it was about you who were basically surviving from almost apocalyptic wiping out by a stronger clan.
Yeah.
And you've got to get revenge and fight against the harsh environments around you and do that. That's really unforgiving. Historically, though, outside of sort of war sims, Command and Conquer and stuff like that, historically, strategy games a bit more forgiving, a bit more... chewing gum.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at games like the Age of Empire games, you basically, if you're playing through the campaign mode, or you're playing against another player, you know, unless that other player was basically, I mean, if you're just playing as a single player game, then you generally, you're okay. You can relax with it. You can progress with it. Civilization, even more so. mean, you know how much civilization you can just lose yourself in it.
It's a life eater.
Yeah. And so games like that, but then you go to the left of games like that, right? And there's a guy I know who all he does after he finishes work, right? He comes home and he basically he has something to eat, and then he goes upstairs into his room where he's got his gaming rig, and his gaming rig is multi-screen, and it's got like all sorts of additions and all sorts of stuff like that. And he sits there, and all he does for an evening is fly from London to New York and back.
Yeah, you've mentioned the story before on the show. Yeah.
Flight simulators, truck simulators, construction vehicle simulators. Those are another one of those chewing gum for the brain type games.
Well, I think the ultimate one is possibly one of the most successful games of the past. Well, it is the single most successful indie game of all time. Minecraft.
Yeah, I was going to go with Farming Simulator, but Minecraft, yeah.
It has a little bit of conflict. You have those, I don't know, evil sausage rolls or whatever they are.
The zombie things.
Just trying to beat you.
Yeah. But Minecraft...
They look more like sausage rolls than they do like zombies, let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah, but Minecraft, you're absolutely right. Minecraft is one of those games where you just sit there and you make stuff.
Yeah, that's the sort of an aspect of the chewing gum game, which is underrated, really, because you could throw dreams, you could throw a little big planet in this.
Yeah.
Games which allow you some sort of outlet to be creative.
Yeah.
It's not just... I mean, games, let's be honest, games are built on being destructive.
Yeah.
Not many games allow you to create.
Yeah.
But going back to the Minecraft, though, there's like Dragon Quest Builders as well.
Mario Maker.
Big Planet, all this sort of stuff. It allows you not just pull things down.
Yeah.
There's probably other examples as well in the indie game space, but that creation aspect is like Dark Cloud as well, like villages and stuff like that. But Chronicle, that one, wasn't it? But anyway, yes. Having that sense of you are putting something together that wouldn't be there without you interacting with the game in a certain way.
The interesting
and you
thing
have to
is,
get it perfect.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that kind of a cross between the Maker games and your normal type game. The Italia games are, I would say that the Italia games to a degree are chewing gum for the brain type games because of the crafting aspect of it, because a lot of the time you're just kind of wandering around the wilderness, gathering ingredients, go back, make stuff, go out again, gather more ingredients, go back, make stuff.
Mm. What's your opinion on visual novels being chewing gum for the brain? Because let's be honest, as games, they're very, very basic.
It depends, because you have a range of visual novels. You have the romance ones, and then you have the ones where you kind of have to save the world, and then you have the horror ones, things like that. So it does depend on what type of visual novel it is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would class them as chewing gum for the brain type games as well, because, well, in a very real sense, a visual novel is basically reading a book. And if you want to read a book, then read a book.
Oh, don't get into that. Quagmire.
Anyway, I did mention Farming Simulator, right? Just to kind of pull us back on to this. Farming Simulator is one of those games where people spend hours and hours and hours just ploughing fields and sowing seeds and planting crops.
Let's be honest, farming doesn't change from year to year. It doesn't have like a new season and a new group of players and a new group of teams that have been promoted to the top league.
Yeah.
Yet, but it's still annualized.
Yeah, but my point is that there are games like that. There are loads of games like that. EVE Online, there are people who play EVE Online, but they don't play EVE Online. What they do, they basically get into a mining ship and mine asteroids for an evening. But on the back of Farming Simulator, you have other games that kind of have the farming aspect. I mean, Farmville was massive on Facebook. But you also have you also have games like Harvest Moon, Animal Crossing.
Well, yeah, Animal Crossing is very, very popular for this. And people do get into that a great deal. Stardew Valley as well. This is games where, again, it's going back to the builder stuff. It's something which you're taking ownership of. It's why people in the city are so enamoured with Countryfile. And if you are watching and listening in America, Country File is basically like a Sunday morning TV show in which it's what's happening in the countryside this week. Let's go on some farms. Let's look at some countryside. Just nice, relaxing, transporting sort of stuff, really. And it scratches that same itch.
Just on the back of the simulations as well, possibly one of the biggest selling simulation games of all time, of simulation franchises of all time, even now, people are still playing The Sims.
Wasn't that initially released as a satire on Second Life or whatever it was?
I don't know. I don't think
the first one. The first one, I'm pretty certain, was a satire, and then it sold really, really well.
Yeah.
So with each respective title, the satire peeled away and away and away until it basically became the thing it was satirizing, which I think is a fun little bit of, I don't know what you describe that as, but it's fun.
But the thing is, The Sims, how many people still play The Sims?
Millions. I mean, I personally have never played it. I don't really know what it is, but millions.
Basically, you're just controlling the lives of all these little people that you've created. It's like the ultimate god simulator without you actually being called a god.
Yeah, I've heard stories of people being quite sadistic with their Sims characters. Like putting them in the basement and then removing the door out of the basement. Sort of stuff.
What I will say is that The Sims is kind of the ultimate personality test. You know, okay. How you treat your Sims is basic. You know, it kind of highlights certain aspects of your persona.
So those people who put them in the basement and then remove the door are kind of really sadistic.
Well, yeah.
They just not come to terms with it.
Yeah, basically. But the thing is, it's weird. It's weird that we've touched on that topic because possibly rather than playing The Sims, they may want to play Grand Theft Auto instead.
Yeah, I mean, that's thinking of it, you look at Grand Theft Auto, you look at Grand Theft Auto Online, very action heavy, very combative or whatever you want to describe it as. But bringing this up, it hints at people who play games in the ways that weren't designed.
Yeah. But how many people would put on Grand Theft Auto, just drive around, hit people with a baseball bat, steal another car, drive around, hit more people with a baseball bat, or whatever?
You don't need to hit people with a baseball bat to steal a car. There's thousands of them just sat on the roadside, Rob. That makes me sound like such a petty thief.
Yeah, but what my point is that's their idea of winding down, and, you know, whatever works. I suppose. Because to me, there's not much difference.
Well, I mean, you go back to The Witcher then, isn't it? I mean, it's one of those lush worlds where you can just sort of wander.
Yeah.
Because on the map, there's thousands of question marks, which are undiscovered locations, and just wandering around that world, discovering the undiscovered is, again, it can be that. It's playing games in the ways that they weren't designed, finding your own fun.
Yeah.
Which, in this age of people who play the games as they're designed because the trophies tell them what they exactly have to do to get a platinum. This whole platinum or whatever the Xbox equivalent is, full gamer score or whatever, in hunting for that, it's taken away people's ability to sort of experiment with the game and play with the game like they want to because they have this script of how they should play it.
It's interesting.
I don't want to bang on achievement hunting, but at the same time, it has taken the adventure out of gaming, really.
It's interesting you say that because that's a really, really lovely segue for me to talk about Forza Horizon in particular, right? Now, here's the thing, right? Open world games, the games where you can just go and explore and you can see what's over the horizon, stuff like that. I think no other game that I've played kind of encompasses just how much you can do that more than Forza Horizon. And to a degree,
Breath of the Wild also did that.
Breath of the Wild did that, but it didn't manage to do it in the same way that Forza Horizon has done it, right? Forza Horizon, the beauty of Forza Horizon is you could literally just drive a car down a road, take it off road, go see what's over the hill, do some jumps on some construction yard, do whatever, and then go off and do something else. And you can just drive your car around and explore.
Yeah. What was that game where you could effectively travel from one side of America to the other? It was a very much bridged version of one side of the country to the other, but it was that.
Was that Project Cars or was that... what was the other one that came out around the same time?
It was Ubisoft, I think.
Was it Drive Club?
It might have been. I don't know what it was. I'll put footage of what it was over the video. Yeah,
it might have been Drive Club. It might have been Drive Club. But yeah.
I mean, that sense of discovery. But again, that game didn't really work that well because it was so abridged that it kind of... You couldn't just discover because everything was neatly marked out on the map.
Yeah. But that's the thing, Forza Horizon. It was a bit like The Witcher in that you had question marks all over the map that you could just go and explore, or you could find your own hidden stuff, or you could basically go somewhere and set up your own event. Mm-hmm. And other players who play Forza Horizon could basically go to your event and discover your event. Do you see what I mean? And the nice thing was, because it was players creating different events as well, you know, there was always something new to discover.
Okay.
Which is, it's a nice way of doing it, isn't it?
Well, I guess, yeah. Yeah. It's just finding the fun in a way which wasn't designed.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a generational thing. Going back to when I was a kid, you could only get so... It wasn't like hundreds of games released every week. There was a limited amount. And you didn't get your games when you knew you got them when you got your pocket money.
Yeah.
So when you got a game, you didn't play it until you finished it. You played it and played it and played it until you knew every little thing about it. Or in the case of me and Contra, you maybe got to the third screen of enemies and then you gave up. But
yeah,
that sort of, you had the game because you didn't have any alternatives and you got the fun out of it that you could get the fun out of it. Whereas now games have become so disposable that you have to basically do what you're told.
Yeah, but
and
I mean,
you don't get to sort of chill out with a game and find that little zen spot because there's something new coming along and you can't relax on this one game.
See, that's the thing. There are a certain group of games where you can still relax to them even though you still have like goals and achievements and stuff like that. Sports games in particular fall into that category where you can just... I mean, FIFA, for example, you can just play... You can just do a single match on FIFA. Right, that's not attached to anything.
Maybe you can, but some people are just compelled to just play.
Yeah, I'm not talking about some people. I'm just talking about a person in general. If they just want to wind down, if they've got 10 minutes free, they just want to wind down, play a quick video game. They can pop FIFA on, or they can pop a sports game on, and just have a quick matchup, can't they?
They
don't have to think about it. It's not going to affect them in any way. They're not hunting for achievements. They're just playing a game because it's the joy and the calmness that comes with playing a game.
I think this episode though has outed me as somebody who really hates trophies and achievements.
Yeah,
and I'm happy to have that outed. I really don't like them.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't like them either. I don't hunt trophies and achievements because at the end of the day, if you're going to give me a trophy, give me a bloody trophy, as in a real thing, right?
Yeah. But just not interested, you know, because it's a generational thing, I think.
Well, I don't think it's a generational thing. I think it's just it's one of those things where it's an achievement. I suppose you could call it an achievement, you know. But it will never ever for me. It will never ever compare to actually achieving something in real life. And by that I mean, you know. Breaking my own boundaries, achieving another level for myself, you know, learning something new, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I want to turn them off. Please, the games developers, or Sony, or Microsoft, or whoever, can I please just turn them off?
Yeah.
Please.
Anyway, enough about your rant about achievements. What's your chewing gum for the brain game?
I don't think I really have one. It's a game where I can sort of go off exploring, I guess. That is, if it's not something like Theme Hospital, which hits this sort of moment where you're just so invested in managing it that you lose your sense of self and you just become absorbed, absolutely absorbed in every little bit and your eyes are darting around like you've somehow seen The Matrix. That's good and there's a space for that and a place for that. Personally, that chewing gum for the brain is just games that allow me to go off and explore and wander. And again, like I've talked about a lot of this episode, finding my own fun. Whether that's a racing game or like a third-person action game, it doesn't matter. It's just as long as I can go off exploring.
I'm kind of the same, but I like games like Harvest Moon and that, but I like Farming Simulator a bit more than I like Harvest Moon. But I wouldn't say that was a game that I'd return to over and over again. I'll be honest, and this is going to sound weird because I'm not a big player of these types of games, but sports games, I always return to a sports game when I want to wind down.
That's fair enough.
Because I think it's because I'm not a hardcore player of games like FIFA or NHL or games like that, that I can return to them and I can sit down and put it on and I can wind down to it because I'm not stressed about it. I'm not going out to hunt achievements or anything. I'm not challenging players online. I'm just having a game against the AI, and that's it.
Yeah. How about you, viewers and listeners? What are the things that you like to sort of chill with? Please comment below or send your tweets to us at TGS_TheGeekShow. We'd love to hear from you. But I think that's it, isn't it, for this week? For this episode?
Yeah, that's it for this week. Join us on the next episode of Impossible Mission, where we're going to have a really interesting topic to talk about. If you have anything that you want to suggest as a topic for us to talk about, then leave a comment below.
See you next time.